You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes on the other side of the dais here. And Ben on the other side of the glass. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today, 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. As we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, check them out online at dupaco.com. Good show coming up for you, Cal Eldred. We'll talk baseball with us as we get ready for Game 3 of the Fall Classic. The World Series coming up tonight. We'll have it at 6 o'clock for you. I got it all fixed. We're okay. Thank you. You see that? You see how quick they came here?
Tucker's on top of it.
I'm sorry, Mark. Now I've got you in the wrong mic. Go ahead.
Tucker's on top of it.
Well, maybe I don't have you on the... Hello?
Hello?
You're not on a mic. So, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Well, let's try that one. This is great here. That one works. That one, not. We'll get it taken care of here.
This is hot, right?
It's hot.
Okay.
It's hot, buddy. It's hot, as they say. All right. Send that one to Chicago, huh?
Can we start over?
Oh, take two. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Gym class for a Tuesday here in KGYM. Scott and Mark with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. You're listening in to a Sterling start on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Cal Eldred will join us. That'll be coming up in just a little bit as we'll talk World Series with you. They were rained out last night. Game 3 now tonight. And everything pushed back a day. Game 4 will be on Wednesday night. Game 5 on Thursday. Off night on Friday. And that means Game 6 will be pushed off into Saturday. If there is a Game 7, it will be coming on Sunday night of this week. So very, very compressed baseball schedule for you. We'll talk about that. Look back at Iowa's exhibition win over Truman State last night. Talk about that. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media. But we start with a very busy NFL trade deadline today, Mark. Busy for a lot of teams. Some teams not taking part in the extravaganza today, which is making other teams a little bit angry. By the way, if you'd like to interact with us, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. You can pick up the phone and give us a call at those digits at 319-366-1600. A lot of movement. This has been one of the more moving days as far as the NFL is concerned and in a long, long time.
It's been very active. I began putting some of these deals on the scoreboard, but then I realized this is quite a busy day in the NFL as the trade deadline has just passed. Let me bring you some of the highlights. Former Iowa tight end T.J. Hockenson headed to the Vikings from the Lions. And I think you and I agree, kind of a curious deal, right?
No, stupid.
On the part of the Lions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you wonder why the Detroit Lions... are the Detroit Lions, because they do things like this. Go on.
The Chicago Bears have picked up perhaps a wide receiver one in Chase Claypool from the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for a second rounder, which essentially was the pick that the Bears acquired in the Roquan Smith trade with Baltimore. Miami Dolphins going all in, maybe, huh?
Yep.
Bradley Chubb, the linebacker from Denver, headed to Miami. Jeff Wilson, one of the running backs in San Francisco, on your fantasy team. He's headed for Miami as well. And kind of a head-scratcher, Calvin Ridley, wide receiver who is suspended for the year, traded from Atlanta to Jacksonville. Now, Ridley can apply for a reinstatement in February, and that's got to be what Jacksonville is banking on. But Atlanta unloading Calvin Ridley. Perhaps there's been more in the last 15 minutes. I don't know.
Going back to Detroit, TJ Hockenson going to, I mean, training TJ Hockenson, not a huge surprise. Training him to a division rival is about as dumb a move that you can do. And you give two draft choices along with a Sterling tight end.
A second rounder next year and a third rounder in 2024.
And they get a second rounder and a third. It's cost cutting. I know. I understand that. The Lions are trying. They don't want. Hey, they're in a little bit of a rebuild mode. We know that. They've been that way for 20 odd years. Ask Barry Sanders how it went. But you're going to be. Do they know that they play the Vikings twice a year? How many touchdowns is TJ Hockenson going to score against the Detroit Lions over the next handful of years? And who? It makes no sense to me.
I don't know if the Vikings really wanted Hockenson. Irv Smith is going to be out 6 to 8, 10 weeks with an injury. Very good tight end. But now the Vikings have not only Hockenson as a weapon, but Dalvin Cook at running back, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. Plenty of weapons for Kirk Cousins for a Viking team that is already four games up on the Bears and the Packers.
Vikings have gone, I think, all in. You mentioned Miami. Miami's got to keep up with the Joneses, if you will, with the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, Buffalo right now is on top of the AFC. They are the king of the AFC. I think they're the best team in football, with all apologies to the Philadelphia Eagles right now. I mean, the first blush trade remarks about the Hockenson trade. CBS right here. Vikings get an A, Lions D+.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a number one draft pick. I could see if they traded Hockenson for the two draft choices, but Hockenson and true draft choices for two draft choices makes less than 0 cents.
Yeah, on the surface, it really does. And you mentioned the grades that were given out on that deal. Meanwhile, the Packer fans are not real happy because no weapons acquired for Aaron Rodgers. Listen, Packers, just go with that running game. It's a damn good running game. And then throw in a few passes. But Packer fans not particularly happy with the lack of a deal being made. Rumors are that the Packers were interested in Chase Claypool. Whether that was the case or not, we'll see. But inactivity, curious for the Packers.
Well, if you're 3-5 at this point, Mark, I mean, the Bears are at 3-5 as well. Do they have this? They obviously, with the same record, they have the same percentages of getting one of the lower wild cards as Green Bay does. Bears went out and got Claypool today. Guess you can make a very good point that the Packers should have gone out. They thought they had a chance at Claypool. Bears pulled one over on them a little bit today. But, I mean, the Eagles are 7-0. Cowboys and the Giants are 6-2, no matter, and they both play very easy schedules. I mean, you take a look at Philadelphia's schedule, there is a chance that the 72 Dolphins are not popping champagne anytime soon.
Yeah.
The NFC East schedule is putridly easy for those teams this year, and the Eagles could do it.
Somebody's going
to
get them.
They go to Dallas. That's by far the toughest game they have remaining. Couple other ones, but it's possible. It's possible. Vikings are 6-1. You mentioned four games separate the Vikings and the rest of the NFC North right now. The NFC South is a hotbed of mediocrity, with the Atlanta Falcons on top at 4-4 right now. And the surprising the 49ers are the team to watch. That's the team to watch. If they play like they did against L.A. on the road last Sunday, now that McCaffrey's got a week under his belt, look out.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. So do you mortgage your a lot if you're the Green Bay Packers to go out and get somebody
for Aaron Rodgers to throw to with a chance you may end up, what, 9-8?
This is a decision Green Bay has made. Now, Lazard's going to come back. He missed the Buffalo game.
True.
I think highly of Alan Lazard. But, you know, he's kind of in Claypool's category, I think.
I don't know. I would assume.
It's interesting what these teams are thinking because the Bears are basically, you know, I don't think the Bears are anywhere near a playoff team, but have sacrificed the defense and getting rid of Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. Are there backups there to plug the holes? A.J. Klein coming in. He's no Roquan Smith. But I think they recognize the fact that they're going to have to score a lot more points than the other team.
True.
The defense looked horrible against Dallas. It had been okay up till now, but, I'm not sure whether Green Bay or Chicago is a playoff team. I think Green Bay more so because, again, I like that running game that Green Bay has.
And a pretty good defense.
Yeah, and a pretty good defense.
Some thoughts on the text line here, 319-366-1600. 6429, Irv Smith has had his share of injuries with Hockenson. We are going all in and have insurance for the future. No skull on the back of that, by the way. Let's see, 0835, not sure how this, our GM, still has a job in Green Bay. Has done nothing but made head-scratching decisions. He's telling us this season is a bust. Might be. Are the Packers going to beat the Eagles or the 49ers? Ask yourself that question.
Not the latter.
I don't think so. Mark, the running game is great as it is. The Packers have lost four in a row to teams besides Buffalo. They should have blown the doors off if they had decent receivers. Yeah, that Jet game at home is a real thorn in the side right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hockenson goes from a 1-6 team to a 6-1 team, says 5822. That is true. TJ's got to be happy, happy, happy at this present time as he is bound for the playoffs. 319-366-1600. That is the talk and text line here today on the Gym Class. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DuPaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Cal Eldred will join us coming up in about 12 minutes or so. We'll get ready for Game 3 of the World Series, a pitching change for Philadelphia. Tonight, it will still be Lance McCullers Jr., I believe, on the mound for the Houston Astros coming up tonight. First pitch just past 7 o'clock this evening. Let's get to Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz met the media today as Iowa gets ready to take on the Purdue Boilermakers, or I think Charlie Jones. The Charlie Jones makers, since most of the questions were about Chuck Sizzle, as you well imagine, today. Was very happy about the way that the offensive line took a step forward in that win over Northwestern. Rest of the offensive coaches that way as well. As far as the injury front is concerned, Mark, I guess good news and bad news right there.
Yeah, Terry Roberts still out in the defensive backfield and special teams, a very important player in that regard. Yaya Black on the defensive side of things is back in the two deep. The OR has been removed on the depth chart at the quarterback position. It's Spencer Petras 1 and Alex Padilla 2.
Keegan Johnson is not going to play again. Terry Roberts is not going to go. Dunker, the offensive lineman, Chancey will be back at practice tomorrow. That is the case. He's got a shot on Saturday. That is good news as far as Iowa is concerned. So, I guess, like I said, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad as far as the injury front is concerned. And then a whole lot of questions about Charlie Jones, as you might well imagine.
In that respect, I'll be glad when this week is over. I mean, I don't know what kind of impact he's going to have in the game. You got to believe he's going to have a significant one. He averages 9 catches a game. And, you know, whether the familiarity of the Iowa secondary with Charlie Jones is relevant or vice versa, I guess we're going to find out on Saturday. But Purdue has other weapons. Aiden O'Connell has spread the ball around quite a bit. I mean, Jones has gotten the lion's share of the catches. But there's a lot of guys who have caught passes, including Tyrone Tracy Jr., another transfer who has had less impact going from Iowa to Purdue. He's got 24 catches against Charlie Jones's 72. So, and we're going to talk Purdue football tomorrow, I believe, right, Scott?
That is correct. Mike Carmen is going to join. We got a heck of a show coming up tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. As couple of biggies coming up, and that includes Mike Carmen, who covers the Purdue Boilermakers, and he will join us on the program on Wednesday. And one line that is really getting a lot of play today that Kirk Ferentz talked about is the, and of course I'm trying to find it right now, and I can't, talking about Charlie Jones and his improvement. And Kirk is not going to go out there and say, yeah, oh my goodness, he's gotten so much better since he's been at Purdue. And he tried to not say that.
But he did say that.
But he did say that today. Said he made a lot of strides in spring practice. Remember, Charlie Jones was with Iowa throughout spring practice and then announced right after that that he was going to go enter the transfer portal, ends up at Purdue. Now, yeah, I do believe he got a whole lot better as far as the spring is concerned. Kirk went on to say as well that, you know what, it's a system. It's a system. Because the line of questioning was, okay, why is he gone from 21 catches to 70 catches? Well, the easy answer to that is Purdue throws the ball a heck of a lot more than Iowa does. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Kirk was taking the high road, I think, today, as far as the Charlie Jones answers are concerned.
Seemed to be, yeah. And, you know, there's a risk of making too much out of this matchup. Actually, Jeff Brohm at Purdue said yesterday, with the transfer portal and whatnot, it's probably not as big a deal as people make it out to be. But I don't think you're going to be able to tell that to Iowa fans. We're going to have a really close watch on what Charlie Jones does in this particular game.
What happens if Charlie Jones catches the game-winning touchdown?
He could.
He could.
He could.
Oh, my goodness. This thing will go crazy. But you know what? Like we said, Charlie Jones is doing what is best for Charlie Jones at this point in his career looking forward. You can't fault the young man. He's now catching passes from one of his best friends, and he's got a legitimate chance to play on Sundays next year. Can't fault the guy for that, right?
No, Kirk was asked, how do you recruit and retain wide receivers when they can look at what Charlie did, then takes off in a different program? And Kirk said, we'll never know what would happen if he was here. We saw him make great improvement, as you said, Scott, I thought, this spring. We were really excited about that. Then he's not here. There's not much you can say about that.
No. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class program on KGYM as we get ready to talk with Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. 58-22, Jones and Tracy, Iowa, gives 12 catches per game. And Riley Moss, some interesting things. Kind of tongue-in-cheek today, talking about going up against his old wide receiver buddy. And said,
was it?
Well, I think somewhat. I think somewhat. Because you said, well, no, I'm going to try to make sure he doesn't catch the ball today. And, you know, chuckle, chuckle. That sounds easier said than done. But, you know, then he kind of, he doubled down. Yeah, I think we can do that. So
yeah, Moss said, you know, I haven't talked to him this week, meaning Charlie Jones, but I hope he and Tyrone have zero catches.
Now, Charlie Jones has been the one that's been the number one receiver for Purdue. Tyrone Tracy has not had a bad year, but he does not have the numbers that Charlie Jones has put up so far this year. And don't forget about Tyrone Tracy either. Still a very, very good receiver. And going to be tough to bottle those guys up. But what's going to happen up front? That's the bigger question. Because if Purdue has time to throw the football, they're going to find those guys. The best secondaries in the world cannot cover a guy for 10 seconds back there. They're going to get open. Can Iowa put a little bit of heat on the Purdue quarterback? That's the question.
Yeah, very much so. And on the other side of the ball, Purdue's got a really good rushing defense, ranking the top 20 in the country. It is not your Northwestern football team that Iowa rushed pretty successfully against last Saturday. So there's that aspect as well. And it's true in every football game. It's one up front.
One up front in the trenches out there. And we'll talk with Mike Carman, who covers the Boilers. And we'll do that coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And yes, we will get to some basketball 81-86 because Iowa did open their season last night with the exhibition game against Truman State at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And a lot of folks weren't purple last night from, Truman State has 10 Iowans, I believe 10, mm-hmm. on their roster. And I think all of them got in.
Five Iowans starting
last night, including Hunter Strait, who was born here in Cedar Rapids, ended up his career at Ankeny Centennial, and it was good to see Hunter out there. Caleb Schlake, who prepped at Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and good to see him out there last night running up and down the court. There are a lot of Schlakes, and they were all in attendance, yeah. I think, at Carver last night. But we will talk about basketball and who looked good, et cetera, about last night's win over Truman State. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But going to throw it to Mark right now for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And they are open at 4 o'clock. You can check them out online at emilshideaway.com. And they are across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. And what's up on the scoreboard?
Not as much as yesterday. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get state volleyball results. We'll make that part of the scoreboard at the end. Joe Williams, three-time national champion from Iowa, is going to be inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Williams concluded his career with a 129-9 record. Quite something. Now on to state volleyball.
Yeah, 3A earlier on today. Two pretty good matches to start things off at Extreme Arena. First of all, it was number one seeded Des Moines Christian beating Union 3-1. It was not as easy as that sounds. Des Moines Christian will now take on fourth seeded Sioux Center. They defeated fifth seeded West Liberty in three straight sets, 3-0. The bottom of the 3A bracket will have Davenport Assumption taking on Mount Vernon. Third-seeded Mount Vernon ousted Unity Christian in straight sets, 3-0, 17, 17, and 15. And Assumption, that was a dogfight against Osage, winning it 3-1. The last set was 32-30. That was a good one. So it's all chalk as far as Class 3A is concerned. 2A is going on right now as we speak, and it is now over. Number one, Dyke New Hartford, a straight set winner over Carroll Kemper, so they move on to the semifinals. And also in Class 2A right now, they have entered the fourth set. Western Christian dropped the first set they've dropped all year to a team from Iowa, believe it or not. Sumner Fred beat them in the first set. Then it was 26-24 Western Christian, 26-24 in the third. And the Wolfpack lead 5-2 in the fourth set right now. So that is Class 2A action. The other The other 2A games that will be coming up a little bit later on, it'll be Hinton taking on Denver, Wapsie Valley against Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. And then in Class 1A coming up tonight, it will be at 6 o'clock, Springville taking on Oakland Riverside. Also at 6, North Tama takes on AGWSR. Mark?
Yeah. Ackley, Geneva, etc.
Wellsburg, Steamboat Rock. Come on. And then at 8 o'clock, it'll be Ankeny Christian taking on Don Bosco and Gladbrook Rhinebeck taking on Fort Madison Holy Trinity Catholic.
After the show yesterday, Clear Creek and Manna knocked off Marion, one of the favorites to win a state championship. Unfortunate for Marion, but very good win for Clear Creek and Manna.
Another trade just coming down the line. Nyheim Hines going from the Colts to the Bills. Colts giving up on their season?
Bills aren't.
Chiefs were rumored to be trading for Josh Allen to try to sack Josh Allen, which would have been a very interesting little irony right there. Did not happen, or at least has not happened as of yet. Let's see. 319-366-1600. By the way, you see Patrick Mahomes and Orlando Brown trick-or-treating last night.
I missed that.
Okay. I thought it was cute. Patrick took out his young daughter and was dressed up and was trick-or-treating with Orlando Brown. You trick-or-treat with your left tackle.
I was distracted by my R14 customers.
All right, 3:32. We'll take a break and come back. Cal Eldred joins us, and we'll talk World Series baseball with you. Game 3 comes up tonight for you at 6 o'clock right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the CBS 2 Iowa's News Now with the first forecast. Center I'm meteorologist Nick Stewart. Clear skies throughout the night tonight and seasonally mild. Temperatures dropping down into the mid-40s. A south wind around 20 miles per hour. For your Wednesday, some morning fog, but then turning sunny throughout the afternoon. Mid-70s for highs. Wednesday night, a few passing clouds. Temperatures down to the low 50s for lows. On Thursday, still back in the mid-70s. Lots of sunshine. Then the rain threat returns Friday into Saturday. Locally heavy rain will be likely. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
Back in 1944, there was a young watchmaker named Willa Dickens. He had his eye on a local jewelry store. As soon as their watchmaker left, he took the position. Worked long days, learned the ropes, and achieved his dream of owning and running Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. When his sons Terry and Tim could barely see over the jewelry cases, they began learning at his side. It's the Dickens family that gives Hertine and Stocker Jewelers its unbending reputation for integrity. They also offer a brand of service that hardly exists anymore, like a layaway program. When someone finds a beautiful something to have or give, they put some money down, pay on it each month, interest-free of course, and when it's paid for, it's theirs for keeps. Stop by, see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City, and step in and say hello to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 9th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This isn't just a party.
It's the super exclusive MVP WeWave party presented by U.S. Cellular.
The Z and KGYM crew will be handing out a limited number of MVP tickets at U.S. Cellular stores.
Get yours to party with us November 19th at Hazard County Saloon. Watch the Iowa-Minnesota game. Come dressed up to win the biggest fan contest.
Enjoy food and extra chances at Hawk Sum Prizes.
We'll be giving away a limited number of MVP tickets today from 4 to 6.
At U.S. Cellular, 1115 Blairs Ferry Road.
Come get yours.
Back on the Gym Class here on KGYM, 3:35. We'll get to Iowa basketball from last night coming up here in just a little bit. But, of course, coming up this evening, it'll be game number 3 of the World Series. 24 hours tardy, but that is the case. And talk about that, the World Series, and all about baseball. Our friend Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And you had to put the popcorn aside for one night, Cal, last night. It was too bad, but it would have been a miserable night to play baseball.
No doubt. And I was actually really pumped about it, fellas. I was actually traveling back from Dallas, so I thought I was going to have to miss it, and I didn't. Good deal.
Hey, before we get to that, I must ask you, A, because it's a baseball story of the day, and B, because it involves my favorite team. Sounds like the Chicago White Sox have found their guy and will announce a manager after the World Series, because nothing gets announced during the World Series anyway. But he's a guy that you know pretty darn well, don't you?
Yes, Pedro Grifol, no doubt. Been the bench coach for the Royals. Been working next to Pedro for the last 5 years, and with him in part 2 years before that. Pedro has been the catcher coach for the Royals, has been there for quite a while now, and was a part of their World Series teams, both of them in the championship at 15. So I know this guy really well. And you know what, Scott, you guys are going to like him. I think the players are going to like him. He is a good communicator. He wants to win really bad. He does do what I know the GM on there, Hahn, was hoping for, and that's kind of to tie both the old-school way of thinking and playing the game with the analytic part and the numbers and putting all that stuff together. So I think that's a great choice by the Chicago White Sox.
And former catcher, that usually turns out pretty well.
Yes, it does, no doubt. And for Pedro, too, working with Ned Yost and then working with Mike Matheny and just all of his experience, because he's done a lot of other jobs. He was in the Seattle organization. He played in the Mets organization, and he did a lot of different jobs with Seattle before he was with Kansas City. So no doubt another catcher in the dugout as a manager, not a surprise. My wife and I are pumped for both Pedro and his wife, Allie, and their girls.
Well, the Royals apparently found a manager as well, right?
Yes, I know that. I'm not sure. Cotraro, I believe, is how you say his name, and I know he's the bench coach in Tampa. Obviously, my ties with the bench coach with Tampa was Charlie Montoyo, who got the job up in Toronto before. And then this guy took over for Charlie. So I don't know a lot about him. Obviously, I've heard some good things about him. He was with Cleveland before that. So hopefully they've got somebody that they feel is going to motivate that team and get those young players playing hard.
Well, we got game 3 tonight. First of all, you know, it's you get the rug pulled out from underneath you on a rainout like this, especially in a game, you know, first World Series game in Philadelphia in a while, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's pumped up, and then all of a sudden, nah, we're going to wait 24 hours anyway. And is that going to have you've been through these situations before, obviously. Is that going to have any influence on one of these two teams?
Well, I think what it does is when you look at it, with Suarez, that really having that extra day, them being able to start Suarez today on a regular five-man rotation is a big deal for them. He pitched, he did pitch two-thirds of an inning in the first game, and actually got that win in that first game. Only faced three hitters, But since he did work on that day, now he could be able to do his somewhat his normal routine, but it gave him that extra rest, even though he only went one inning. It's still a big deal for them. McCullers, it gives him an extra day. He's a spin guy. I think, you know, we'll see how he is early on in that first inning. And so I look for Suarez to probably be, you know, he should be sharp coming out, but it's interesting to me to see what McCullers is going to look like in the first inning.
Cal, back to game one, and I don't know if there's an answer to this. I really don't. And that is Justin Verlander's horrible performance over the course of his career in the World Series. And this is a guy that had a tremendous year, has had many of them. Is there any explanation to 0-6? A 6.07 ERA. Come on.
You know what? And the only thing I, you know, Mark, and he was cruising. I mean, he was on cruise control. So it was the second time around the order. They took better at bats. He found himself behind in the count. And then they're not missing the fastballs. And he did hang some breaking balls. So it looked like to me that there was quite a decline in his stuff the second time around the order, which I've seen that at times. But I also know that he took some time off towards the end of the year. And I know he's battling some, I think it's, I would call it more fatigue than anything else, but that adrenaline has to carry you. And everybody would say, well, my gosh, it's a World Series. Why wouldn't his adrenaline carry him? You pointed out, he's 0-6. This is something that he, and when you start trying too hard, which could have been the case with him, Mark, I don't know if that's really the answer, like you say. But that second time around the order got him, and he couldn't recover. And therefore, but here, you know, the one thing he did do for them in that first game was go five innings. And that was huge for their bullpen, and it paid off the next night.
Well, it was huge for Houston to come back in game two as well. I mean, showed the veteran team that they are, that they have been there before. Because it, you know, I'm not going to say it was curtains if they lost game two at home going 0-2, but and they knew the significance of that game, and they performed well.
Well, and it, once again, it's something I'm going to – you guys heard me talk about this, but starting pitching, when Valdez came out and performed the way he did, going 6 1/3, and there were a couple key innings in there. Houston had actually scored, and he comes out and walks a leadoff guy. And I do remember hearing Smoltz talk about it. John was exactly right. That's the last thing you want to do after your team scored and has actually extended the lead. But this guy, his breaking ball is nasty. His changeup's nasty. And when he gets in trouble, he goes to either one of those two, but his two-seamer moves so much. And it is rather high velocity, being 92 to 96. So this guy really picked him up. And that gave Houston, you know, 11 1/3 innings in the first two games pitched by their starting pitchers, and that's a big deal for them.
Well, the other thing that's a big deal is that Jose Altuve, who has been scuffling quite a bit in the playoffs, may have found his stride again. And that's not good news for Philadelphia, because he went 3-for-4 in game two.
He went 3-for-4. He got a hit in that first game. I think he's 1-for-5. And then when he went 3-for-4, and you guys, look, those are the typical hits. And he still missed a couple pitches that were middle. When you go middle, he hurts you. But then there's other pitches. The one pitch, I know he hit the right field. That pitch was up and away, almost above his head. And he gets a base hit on it. And there's a guy in scoring position. That's his MO. He's going to go, he thinks he can hit anything when there's guys in scoring position. So it is a huge deal for him, because you could see just his, I've seen him play enough now and watched him and watched video on him and scouted him enough. You could see that just confidence building in him. So if he goes and he gets a couple more hits tonight, man, he sets the table for that club.
Game two, Cal. I don't know how many perfect games you've witnessed, but there apparently was a perfect game by an umpire. Pat Hoberg out of Urbandale High School graduate. And these analytics have not been kept for forever, just in recent years, but he apparently did not miss a call, Cal.
Well, and so going back to that now, this is why when we're watching the game and you see that box that they have there, the box, and we know this as coaches and players, and we know that box is not always exactly right. because there are times when we look and we get the information in between innings, actually, guys. The Royals, we had a guy sitting out the way I wanted to do it. There was a guy sitting in the clubhouse who watched this, and it went according to our either our Hawkeye system that was used in the stadium, and it would show you exactly where those pitches were. So sometimes in TV, and I know Holberg, there were some pitches that looked just a little bit low, that they weren't touching the line, and he called them. And so he was perfect. He was that good. And those pitches were strikes. So, I'll support any guy from Iowa when he's doing that kind of stuff. So that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm sure he and his family were excited.
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia, as you mentioned, they get a chance to move their pitching around. And now Syndergaard, it sounds like, could go game five. It sounds as though that Philadelphia is looking at him. Maybe if they need him to eat some innings, that could happen as well. So I don't know. Pitching right now, starting pitching anyway, who do you give the nod to with basically a five-game series left now?
Well, I give the nod to Houston simply because they're using four guys, and they're going to be able to just kind of run them through again. And with Verlander, Valdez, McCullers, and they're saying that in game four they're going to pitch Christian Javier, who pitched extremely well in his last outing. So, and then go back to Verlander. I think that they need either from Suarez or Nala. Philadelphia needs a longer start. And because right now Philly's bullpen's only pitched one inning more than the Houston bullpen, but it's when you start wondering who you're going to start for game five, and don't get me wrong, Syndergaard, saw him earlier this year, still extremely good, can be very effective. So, and I don't think they want to have to bump Wheeler up and pitch him. I think they'd rather have him pitching in game six. So the edge I'm giving is to Houston right now.
If Philadelphia only wins one of the next three, you'd probably say it's in Houston's, corner, right?
No doubt. And I think it just depends especially if they get some longer starts between McCullers, Javier, and Verlander, because now they're not going to use their bullpen as much, Houston. And that puts really Philadelphia reeling, because if they do that, then Philadelphia's going to have to pull out all the stops for game six. That's just the way it's going to be. And Houston's been a team that has played well on the road in the World Series, and obviously in the series against Washington, that was no more obvious than at any other World Series, really. But I'm telling you, I know I sound like I'm really pushing Houston here, but Philadelphia has a chance here, because I believe, Scott, you mentioned about Altuve and what he's doing and how he's building some confidence for their offense, for Houston's offense, but Philadelphia's offense has proven time and time again, when they get back in the corner, they come through. And Harper, Schwarber, I think the momentum offensively can go either way right now. It's a toss-up to me offensively, and whoever comes out banging is going to get that momentum.
Best two players, best duo, I think, in baseball that doesn't get talked about a whole lot are Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. Agree?
No doubt.
Nobody talks about him.
And you know what? Bregman is really good defensively. Tucker, on occasion, will take a really bad route, but the guy does a really good job out there, and he's got a cannon. So, and they're really hard back-to-back. You got the right-left or the left-right. Doesn't matter. And there, you make a mistake to Bregman, and he makes you pay at the plate, and he makes some incredible plays in the field. But those guys back-to-back, without a doubt, they're a tough duo. They see a lot of pitches, and they don't miss the ones that are in the middle. Tucker will miss a few more than Bregman, but still, I completely agree.
JT Realmuto.
Whew.
Pretty tough customer, isn't he?
Oh, man. You know, I'm trying to decide, guys, because I don't know him that well. I don't really know him very well at all, and I watch him around his teammates, and if the fans want to do something, help me out here. As you're watching the games, let me know what you think, because I'm watching him in the bench when he goes to the bench, when he hits, you know, does something and scores a run and comes in, he hit the home run. Yeah, he was really excited, but there's still this calmness about him. And there's also this, everybody around him kind of looks at him like, this is a serious guy. This guy's serious. Like, he's serious all the time. I'm not so sure that's his MO, but he's pretty intense. And for a guy to be catching and leading a pitching staff and hitting in the three hole and doing as well as he does at both, that's pretty incredible. I've watched Salvador Perez handle it, his ups and downs. I tell you, it's the weight he carries on that club is really heavy, and he does a really, really good job of it.
Yeah. You still going with the Astros?
I'm still going with the Astros. If Philadelphia and their story, they continue to pull things out, fellas. They're probably, if they're going to win this, we may see this go seven games. But I'm telling you, they're fun to watch. They really are. So I've watched Castellanos for a long time facing him when he was with Detroit. Kyle Schwarber was teammates with my son CJ at Indiana. So, you know, there's just some fun guys to watch on their club. And they're going to give Houston a battle for sure.
I would agree. And we'll have game three coming up tonight. And get the popcorn ready, Cal. And we'll talk one more time.
He's got Halloween candy left over. Come on.
True.
Yeah, you got to have some, right?
Are you a full bar guy or no?
No, I am not. I'm not a full-blown Halloween guy most of the time because I got my face in the television and the popcorn bowl during this time of year. I got to confess for sure, but no, enjoy it. Yeah, pick through it. Pick out your favorites. You can separate it during the game, and then, you know, the kids can swap with their brothers and sisters and neighbors, and maybe they can get their favorite candy, a big pile of it.
There you go. Well, we'll talk one more time next week. Cal, enjoy the baseball, and we'll talk to you then.
Look forward to it, guys.
All right. Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll look into the Iowa basketball game from last night when we return.
Now at Menards, save big money with 11% off everything. Illuminate your home's exterior with Patriot Lighting Outdoor Lights. Install with ease and feel safe when someone approaches your home with motion-activated security lighting. Choose from a wide selection to brighten up your home in style with unique designs. Now get 11% off all Patriot Lighting at Menards. Good through November 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie@kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Remember how it felt to look up to the big guys?
Cool.
You can give a kid that feeling. Join the new Sports Buddies program with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Once a month, you and your little go to a sports-related group activity you both like. He finds somebody to look up to, and you get to be a hero.
Cool.
Sign up with your buddies so you can each get paired with a cool kid and enjoy activities together. Get in the game. Join the six-month Sports Buddies program with Big Brothers Big Sisters now. Get details at bigcr.org.
Back on the Gym Class, 3:54 here on KGYM. We got a great lineup coming up for Wednesday. Now, we will let you know right off the bat that Chris Liss is on vacation this week, so he will not be joining us tomorrow. But he will be back a week from Wednesday to answer your fantasy football questions. So we will not have Chris coming up tomorrow, but I think we did okay in his stead because we are going to talk with Mike Carman, as we mentioned, who covers the Purdue Boilermakers. And then also coming up tomorrow, I ran into him last week here and talked and said, hey, you know what? Why don't you come on the show? Mitch Keller is going to join us tomorrow, pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And looking forward to talking with Mitch and looking back at his 2022 and looking ahead at the 2023 season for him.
Yeah, a couple fun guests right there. And we'll get at after it a little after 3. And Mitch had a pretty good year.
Not bad. Not bad at all. So we'll talk with him coming up on the program tomorrow. Last night, Iowa opened the exhibition basketball, well, the basketball season with their one and only exhibition as the Hawkeyes got the victory. It was a little bit, it was close early. Truman State played very well for the first 10 minutes, shot the ball particularly well, and then Iowa took over and won it 118-72 over Truman State, a Division II team, a very good Division II team, I might add, but some very good numbers out of that game last night. Now, keep in mind, it is an exhibition game. It is 81-86 says. I think the one thing that I took from the game last night was, and 81-86 agrees, look out, Big Ten, here comes Tony Perkins, who looked really good. Put on about 10 pounds of good, solid weight, and he's a force. He had a heck of a dunk. Not that your point guard needs to dunk it, but that was pretty darn impressive last night with what he did. DeSante Bowen came in, had 8 assists. Connor McCaffrey nailing threes. Now, he was open. Said he worked on it all through the summer. Boy, if he can hit even a couple threes, how big that would be. Iowa shot 65% last night, 56% from three. Had the rebounding edge and only 8 turnovers in the game last night. Thought they looked good. You know, you can't take a whole lot away from this, but Louisville lost to a D2 team.
Right. Aaron Ulis did not play because of disciplinary reasons.
Correct.
Therefore, I was curious when we talked earlier about DeSante Bowen, and I think a lot of people were interested to see him for the first time.
Yeah, looked good. Peyton Sanford, very good game. Chris Murray, you know, doing Murray-type things. Again, if there was one negative, it's probably in, and it's been the same thing the last couple of years, interior defense. And Chris Murray is probably not quite as strong as Keegan in the middle defensively. He's going to have to help out. I think Ogundele is going to get in there a little bit more this year and play, especially against teams that have bigs in there, big fives. But we'll see. But a good start as Iowa gets ready for Bethune-Cookman coming up to open the season next Monday. More on that, more on the world of sports, Game 3 of the World Series, etc., with Todd and Alex. They'll be coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, taking you to the pregame of Game 3 of the World Series between Philadelphia and Houston. Talk to you tomorrow, Mark.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class, KGY.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, where the refs are always wrong and Dr. Pepper is always right.
Always.
Where the mountains are capped with cooler ice and children learn the 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper before they learn the alphabet.